it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to Watchman Jesus Bible Study for tonight on this Friday. Woo, what a day. It's the 27th of March, 2015. On this Friday afternoon, here we are sitting here doing a Bible study. Can you imagine on a Friday? What else would you be doing on a Friday? I hope to make it exciting tonight, different, interesting. It's going to be odd, too. It's going to be odd because we're going to talk about the supernatural. Which is the natural, actually. The supernatural is the norm for today. Norm for this life we live is the norm, is the supernatural. What's temporary is the natural life we live is, it's not the permanent part of this world. People's got it backwards. They think this is going to stop. There's no way that the physical world could continue on its own. It's not possible. It's like having tires on your car that never wear down. Heck, they roll by themselves. The tires don't do that. Well, the particle vibrations of our molecules are always moving. Friction causes heat. Flesh, carbon, it burns up, rusts, rots. Everything on this earth rusts, rots, consumed. Everything moves. But spiritual doesn't. Now, how does that equate to something we can sink our teeth in? Well, there's one angel in the Old Testament. There's a story. This angel killed 185,000 Assyrians, one angel. So that means the didn't get tired. That means the spiritual, physical side of them was different than the soldiers who were all flesh. And by moving their bodies, and they get tired. But a supernatural being with supernatural flesh would not get tired at all. Would be stronger. It's physics. What it amounts to being. Not symbology, not symbols. It actually happened. When the angels come down here to interact with man, they have to have bodies. But their bodies would not be carbon flesh, be made out of copper. Copper DNA, a different. That's why they call them the blue bloodlines of the royal families. Because they're hybrids, part copper and part carbon-based DNA. Strange, huh? That's how it works. One last thing. I find it interesting. Those that I've talked to on a regular basis, I had said many times that these foreign trade zones in the United States was given to China. 290 foreign trade zones or industrial parks throughout the United States that belongs to China. And I'd said many times that after 1999, they were used as collateral for China buying the debt up. Well, sure enough, article just came out recently. China poised to demand U.S. land as payment for the U.S. debt. Right there it is, right there, black and white. Could real estate on American soil owned by China be set up as development zones in which communist nation could establish their... They're already here. They're called foreign trade zones. I can't wait to Monday. This is too much. I've been saying about this for years. Now here's the evidence. See how they tell it? They say, well, could it be? And they've done it already since 1990s. Oh, goodness gracious. Anyway, let's dedicate the broadcast. And let's talk about what the supernatural realm is about and how it works. I can't believe they come right out and talk, say like it's never happened yet. And they've had it done for 15 years now. About getting property for China. They've already taken it and already built development zones. Oh, man. Anyway, these people are tricky. We come together today, Lord. We pray to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, guide us, protect us. Give us that discernment and wisdom, Lord, that we can be a service to you. We thank you, Lord, for the things you've given us. And, Lord, we know that it's to keep us humble. These things that you give us, that these gifts that you give us, Father, right now are not gold and silver and money and these things that's going to burn up and go away and be used. But Father, the internal part is the treasure. That right now, Father, we're on a testing ground. And those, Father, that you've designated to be your watchmen, to be your leaders, to be your teachers, Father, give us those opportunities and the abilities to carry it out. We pray for our brethren. We pray for our families. We pray for our veterans. And we pray, Father, for an awakening of the citizens of this world that through the Holy Spirit, they'll awaken to the truth before that day the Lord gets here. That your outpouring of the Spirit will happen soon. But it's thy will be done, not our own. Father, we pray to you. We pray, Lord, you'll use these tragedies here in the past and all those coming in the future to your glory. They'll be used to bring people to Jesus. And all these things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Carry us through. China to demand land. I can't believe that come out. They've been doing this since 1990. Okay, I get over it. But it just blows me away sometimes. We talk about these things, and before, lo and behold, there they happen. So thankful in all things. Team of Jesus. What team you on? I think those listening right now tonight is pretty much determined, but what about your friends and families and those folks? When you stepped really into the worship and study, man, you can't go back. You can't go back to where you used to be. Things change little by little, and you can't go back. Insight that I've gained, and doesn't mean it's true, but I just have to tell you what I believe is true, is that once you get close, really start getting close to God, and you become born again, He changes bits of your DNA. He changes parts of you, because there's things that you used to do that you don't like doing anymore. How's that work, really? Frequency vibration. Changing DNA. And then you say, well, how do you know that? Well, I gave an example about Peter. When you look at it scientifically, look at it, the body structure. When Peter saw Jesus, he thought, oh my gosh, that's a ghost. He thought it was some spirit. He said, no, that's Jesus. And Jesus beckoned him to come out. He came out and walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. Now, I haven't heard, I mean, maybe that people have, but I haven't heard it, where someone really analyzes what happened. I mean, the body of Peter had to be changed. The human flesh is not going to walk on water. So that body must be head toward spiritual and still exist as a physical manifestation. So that means particles, molecules of that body had to be manipulated and changed. Well, Peter can't do it, or he wouldn't start sinking. So he had to be the Holy Spirit to do it. See? Happened instantly. He could walk on the water, just like that. And when he started having fear, that's within seconds, a minute or whatever, he started sinking. He couldn't stop, because if he could, he wouldn't call out for help. So he couldn't control it. It was his faith that controlled it. Because his faith, God let him walk on the water. When he lost his faith, God took away that ability instantly. So you wonder, what are the physical processes that allowed that to happen? It's very interesting. Well, to me it is. That's why I studied it. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Changed, what do you mean changed? Changed what? For some, it's going to be changing their diaper, because they're going to scare the dickens out of them when all this happens. And the last trump. Now, this one, 1 Corinthians 15:52, this is where your preterist and Calvinist and others say that this is the seventh trumpet of the apocalypse. No, it's not. The last trump is a trump of God. It's different than the trumpets that the angels are blowing. This is God's judgment, but this is a different set of trumpets. It's a trumpet of the rapture. Hebrews 11:5. By faith, oh, there it is. By faith, Enoch was translated. They should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. See, Jesus wasn't there then, but he had done the sacrifices. He pleased God with his life. God brought him up, but he was translated. Translated. And was by faith. There you go. See? Peter had faith at first, lost it, sunk. The woman had the issue of blood, had faith, she is healed. The Roman general or whatever he was came up to Jesus, "My servant is dying." He had faith that even Jesus acknowledged and said, if men of Judea had such faith, but his faith saved somebody else, his servant, by faith. There it is. Wow. It tells you. Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Yeah. He was obedient to God, like Adam at first was, and then Adam wasn't. Adam got kicked out of the pool. Yo, he got out. And an angel was put there to make sure nobody got back in, so no one would be thinking that they're God by eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, right there shows you that the Christian identity folks and the others are wrong about the sin in the Garden of Eden with sex with Satan. Yeah, that's what they say. And that Cain was the son of Satan. Fraternal twins. Abel was the son of Adam and Eve. And so Eve had sex with both Adam and Samyaza, or Satan, produced Cain. And in the same time frame, she had sex with Adam and somehow another fraternal twins. It gets all messed up because of Genesis 4:1. I've gotten a man from the Lord. Well, no. All she's exclaiming there when she gave birth to Cain was she saw he wasn't a girl. So it's like a man. I got a man here. Wow, there he is. Well, they try to make it seem like, hey, I've got myself a man. Yeah, baby, come here. You see, they got it messed up here. So they're trying to say, and then they say that, well, Cain was black or was a minority. Then they really get stupid. And it really gets all messed up. And these are theologians, Christian identity adherents. And they survived the flood. Therefore, they represented the minorities of the world. It is really dumb what they come up with. Say, no, it's like trying to fight a fire with a garden hose. You try to say, straighten them out. You say, no, because nobody survived but eight. And no, the sex did not happen in the Garden of Eden. It was disobedience of God. He gave them a tree that if you eat of the tree, so it wasn't the fruit of the tree. It was the act of disobedience from that particular tree of good knowledge of good and evil. They could live forever without it and walk with God in the garden and tend to what they're supposed to. But no, Satan said, I know what you want. You want to be like me. You want to have knowledge, and you can be like a god. They're trying to keep knowledge away from you. You're not going to die. Go ahead and eat that thing. He's not going to kill you. Come on now. Wrong. Got kicked out of the garden. Nobody could go back in. Well, if it was sex, what would it matter in the first place? You have sex in the garden, out of the garden. See? Mm-mm. It's those trees and the disobedience attached to it, or obedience attached to it. And the next trick they're going to come at you with, and this is like now, and it's being done, is that Jesus married Mary Magdalene, they had children, and that's going to be the Antichrist. Yeah, I'd say it's the son of Sanan de Manuel, is what I'd say it was. And they're going to find DNA. It'd be a myth and a hoax and a lie, but on the covenant of the Ark, or the Ark of the Covenant, and that shroud, which has been proven a hoax, that's a shroud of a long-haired hippie Jesus. That ain't Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Uh-uh. But they're trying to say that, and they'll say, his blood, it's the same DNA as that on the shroud. Oh, it's the same DNA as found on the Ark of the Covenant, where Jesus was crucified. And Ron Wyatt, he's dead now, but Ron Wyatt said that the blood went through crack in the ground and fell in the ark underneath it and all kinds of nonsense. Well, they're going, that's what that's all about. Oh, it's coming. Be ready. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath, there it is again, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Translation is the changing of flesh, like in Enoch and Lazarus and Jesus himself. Now Lazarus, he died twice. You heard of a twice cooked potato, right? Well, you had a twice dead Lazarus. He died once when Jesus came, before Jesus came. And then he brought him back to life. And then from then on, he got old and died again. Man, if I died twice, I'd get tired of living or tired of dying. But he didn't. He'd go to heaven, wouldn't he? And Jesus himself had his body changed. Trumpet of God is not one of the seven trumpets. They try to make it seem so. Matthew 24:31, and here's a proof of it. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Well, nowhere does that talk about in the seven trumpets. So that means it's separate. Trumpets of judgment, that don't happen. So this must be another set of trumpets. Trumpets of the angels sounds judgment. Not the gathering together. So that must be before the trumpets. Because the last trumpet, the seventh one, is Armageddon. So that means the rapture is before the first trumpet. Trumpets of the angels. And Revelation 8:2, I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. That's Revelation 8:2. I've been doing my research. Found this stuff. Flesh cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Enoch never died. So there's flesh. Those who are alive will be changed. Translated. Flesh cannot enter, therefore flesh is changed. Lazarus died. He is so dead he smelled bad. Therefore Jesus had to change his flesh to bring him back to life. Yep. When you're saved, your DNA, your frequency changes just enough to take away certain desires. There's no way when Holy Spirit comes inside your heart, your body's will stay the same. And I looked up the word translation. It talks about changing one word to another and all that. But it also mentioned the changing of DNA and RNA. I said, whoa, that's interesting. On the definition of translation. You know, they have sometimes four and five definitions. This is the supernatural world, the changing of solid into spiritual. So, what of it then? Satan has a kingdom. He is the first angel to rebel against God. Many other angels followed him in his rebellion. He convinced them to follow him. Bad move. Those who remained were holy angels. And Satan, along with these fallen angels, set up a kingdom opposed to God and his kingdom. Ever since that time of Satan's rebellion, there's been two kingdoms in the universe, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of Satan, he divided it into seven areas. Yep, and now you know the rest of the story. Political, religion, science, the arts, finance, education, philosophy. And each one has a specialist fallen angel to control it and tempt mankind and set up his kingdom through those seven areas. Satan's trying to keep people from receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord because he don't like you. He didn't want to have to worship you when you become glorified, whoever they are that becomes born again. It's me should do, he says. I'm the one that should be glorified. Now, he has millions of demons. They're real. I've been talking about them now the past couple of days. They're not just a representation of evil. They actually exist. And various things we do on this earth, like yoga, that's the hardest thing to convince people and show them how it works, how it opens up portals. And each position of the yoga positions opens up a portal on your body. There's information coming out now more often about this principle. It's what yoga is all about. They even have Christian yoga classes. Now, you add drugs to it. Look out, Katie. Woo, something's coming. Not good. And that's the purpose of legalizing the drugs. So what can these demons do? Well, first of all, it is a tragedy that the Christians have not been taught about what the Bible clearly sets forth about the work of demons, to know what music does, the arts, and all those other six areas I talked about, to know what to stay away from. Demons and their work about Satan is defeat. You lose all fear of them. Notice that in the movies, they're big, mean, and ugly. But they're nothing really more than specks of light, energy. Now, through ritual and human sacrifice, channeling what they call negative energy, can either manifest the demonic entities, cause them to give them the ability to channel or to possess the individual when the negative energy is focused by those symbols or by casting spells. When they cast a spell, it's the same thing as dispatching or sending a demon upon that person and operates around them. Demons talk. Serpent did. It's hard for people to realize that. Every object within your purview, books and papers and water and whatever it is, that you can touch, feel, smell by your five senses, is the same frequency vibration as you are of that variance, so you can interact with it. Electromagnetic energy changes that when they get faster vibration. Now, often in the Bible, you've got records of demons talking. This walk through a person's faculties, which they have processed, possessed, just like your spirit. Or even you. talking about a person. Talk through your own tongue and your vocal cords. That's where you get the exorcist. When it talk that deep talk, guttural sound, that's a demon using the person's actual throat muscles. In Mark 3:10 and 11, so when you know this, and that person's talking all nice and sweet and all that, and all of a sudden they get possessed, which can happen, and they start talking like that, it's like, whoa, man, you're out the door. Give me a box of Depends. Woo! It tell you, see? But if you know where it's coming from, different story, then you rebuke them in the name of Jesus, knowing that not the person, it's what's inside him. See? Because they're counting on you being afraid. Mark 3:10 and 11. And unclean, whoops, 3:10, yeah. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him, for to touch him as many had plagues, 3:11. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, Thou art the Son of God. So the sun was setting all day that they had any sick with divers diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid the hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils came out of many, crying out, There are Christ, the Son of God, Luke 4:40 and 41. They know him. Christ taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? In Mark 1:22-25, let's look in the King James Bible, make sure. Mark 1:22, King James Bible. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. The demons know who he is. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. When the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed. Yet they still turned away from him. Later. There's a lot of other scriptures that show us how demon spirits, which had possessed people, actually spoke and talked to those who had come to cast them out. There's a collaboration, whatever. There's a degree that these demons work with the priests that are exorcists. Alberto Rivera confirms this. And they agree to come out of there, the body, giving the priest power over the people. Like, look what I did. But the thing is agreement between the Vatican, between that priest and that demon. Yeah, Alberto Rivera, former Jesuit priest, confirms all this. In a certain city, a man brought his wife to be healed and also delivered from the power of the devil, which had bound her. And they were told, people that were doing the exorcism, were told that the woman could not be brought into the service and was therefore being kept in a side room of the building, and they were conducting services. One clergyman walked in the door of this small room. He saw a very large, tall woman sitting in a chair. Had her face to the wall. She weighed about 220-some pounds, thereabouts, and was very strong. So when he came in the room, she turned around quickly, stared him right into the eyes with a fearful and sullen kind of look, and said, she began to rise from her chair. "Why, I know you. They told me this morning that I'd be met by the true servant of the Most High God." So the family was amazed because they had not breathed a word about taking her to the church or to a man who would pray for her. Because she'd come to hate all religious gatherings. So demons were fearful. Therefore, they tried to be religious. So when the demon spoke, the Spirit of the Lord moved within these people with indignation. And no, with a sullen acknowledgement to the demons, he responded, "Yes, you demons told the truth. You are met by the one true servant of the Most High God. And I adjure you," he said, "in the name of Jesus, to come out of the woman now and leave her so that she can be sane and normal again. Come out of her now, I command you." So now these demons had to obey. And the woman was set free and was soon coming back together with her husband. God had made that move. They can talk. That's not all. These demons are intelligent also. These little specks of light, they are. One occasion when Jesus met two demon-possessed men, he met them coming up among the tombs. When he was about to cast them out, they cried out, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God? Art thou come hither and torment us before the time?" See, they know their time's coming. They know it's coming. Mark 8:29. What time are they talking about? Do we speculate? You see, demons know that the lake of fire, which is hell, was prepared for the devil, his angels, the day'll come when the devil will be cast in the lake of fire and the brimstone. And that's where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were in the fire, but didn't feel anything. A different frequency. What about Jonah and the whale? Could flesh have survived being in that water with a big fish, probably a whale, unless God had changed his body structure? You ever thought about that? Together with the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers is where they're going to be. The beast and the false prophet, and later Satan. Sorcerers and adulterers and all liars. Revelation 21 verse 8. And with whatsoever was not written, found in the book of Lamb's book of life. Demons know that day is coming. And they know they shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. They know that they'll no longer be able to torment humanity because their time will have come. You know why that there's torture, pain throughout hell? for eternity? Because when he removes the Holy Spirit among the people would kill each other with such violence. So by the torment, it's out of love for the torment. Because if they didn't have torment, they would vex each other. But with the torment, they're not able to vex each other. It is a catch-22. Annihilation would be reward. I get to sin as much as I want. Who cares? My soul goes to sleep. The great white throne judgment or whenever my time comes to be judged. So what? He annihilates me. I go to sleep. I get annihilated. Well, it don't work that way, see? The body changed, but eternal punishment. I mean, these churches are failing bad. The demons fear. They tremble before God's anointed. They can tell who you are because they know that you've been given power over them in Jesus' name. They try to diminish it as much as possible. And that they must obey us. That's why demon-possessed people ought to become violent, drastic when they're being brought to the campaign services. You know, even though the person may know nothing about where he's being taken, the demons are intelligent. And so they know they're being taken to the presence of God's word and of God's servant who has power and authority over them. They try to scare you so you don't have faith. Therefore, you won't have power over them. Some people are bringing a demon-possessed woman to some meetings to be prayed for, and upon entering the lobby of the auditorium, one of the born-again Christian women happened to be standing in the crowded entrance speaking to somebody. So the demon-possessed woman began acting very strangely to those who brought her. So these demons, of course, knew that one with knowledge of Satan's defeat was near. They can tell. And that makes them nervous. When they're cast out of the body, they go to the abyss so they can find another body. Well, that woman looked all about her and located the other lady, the born-again Christian lady. She stared at her, and her eyes became a wild and fierce, and she raised her head, hand, pointed to the lady with the words, "I know who you are. I don't want to have anything to do with you." Boy, I tell you, someone said that to me like that. Then she cursed with most vile words as she is led out of the auditorium. And when you pray for them with forgiveness, you can bring that demon out of there. Interesting. It's all about physics. What's real? Demons also resist surrendering. In the 8th chapter of Matthew, the 5th chapter of Mark, in the 8th chapter of Luke, they set forth a scene of Jesus casting out the legion of demons from those two maniacs. So, first of all, the demons actually professed to worship Christ, Mark 5, verse 6. And they evidently seeking to prevent the Lord from being too stern with them. Secondly, Jesus made a command for them to come out of the man. Third, the demons sought him out that he would not torment them. But when the command was not withdrawn, the demons became more fearful. And then notice that fourth, Christ demanded of them, "What is thy name?" And the fifth, the demons responded, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now hold on a minute. How can you have many in one body? Well, because there's specks of light. You see. And number six, when Jesus insisted that they depart, the demons horrified by being expelled from the habitation in the man's body besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Mark 5 verse 10. So, these legions of demons which had possessed this maniacs, both of them, tried to bargain further with Jesus Christ. If they were to be forced out of the human possession, well, okay, the next best habitation would be the herd of swine feeding nearby. So it says in Mark 5:12. Mark 5:12 in this story. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." So they'll take a pig's body too. Seventh, forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered in the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. There were about 2,000 of them, and they were choked in the sea, drowned. So, one can see how these demons resent surrender, and those surrendering their places of possession. Yet they must yield to the authority of God's servants. And to us, Christ has said, "I give you power and authority over all devils. In my name shall ye cast out devils." That's where that comes from. They cause all kinds of illnesses. That's what they got psychiatrists for. To show you, well, this individual, because he was had a missing a mother, and this and that and the other kind of things he's talking about. When in reality, they're possessed. And it's coming out because of psychotropic drugs and what have you. In one case, an evangelist spoke to everybody and said, "Bow your head, please." And one particular individual sharply replied with eyes of just absolute anger, "We don't bow our heads." One person did with nobody. When those kind of things happen, more than likely you're face to face with a demon and not a human. How many people would actually admit that? They're daring to challenge the authority of Christ has given you. "Yes, you'll bow your head and hold your peace while I pray." So now, if it doesn't work, like in those in the second heaven, in one case, you go back at him. And you hold your peace and obey me, because I speak in Jesus' name according to God's word. You don't get scared and back down. So the demons, fearing because they knew they had met one with the power over them, proposed to bargain with these words, "We'll hold our peace today, but we'll talk tomorrow." But when you command them to come out of her, come out of the person, now, the demons will have to obey. And so the countenance was changed, and in one case, had several to be delivered. Demons do resist surrender, but they must obey. So what have we got so far? Case of insanity, and demons resist being surrendering. Demons are intelligent, and demons can talk, and talk through the bodies. That's where you remember the exorcist? When they start that deep growling sound. This movie, but real life, oh boy, that'd be a wake-up call. Hell bent on destruction of the body that they've taken over to defile it. Demons also call for reinforcements. In 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus taught a very revealing lesson about demons. In Matthew 12:43-45, for example, let's go so you can check it out here. Matthew 12:44-45. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And remember, I talked today at the very beginning of the broadcast about them getting no rest. Well, Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. So there's clear evidence that's possible for demons which have been cast out to call other demons to reinforce and get stronger and re-enter the person out of whom they've been cast out. When this person delivered, failed to consecrate his life to Christ, leaves you open for sin. So the demon in one case was cast out, but the person had not filled his heart with good things. Therefore, the demon called on other spirits more wicked than himself, more powerful than himself. They entered in the body, the house, the vehicle, whatever you want to call it, and dwelt there. And the last state of that man was worse than the first. Well, this is not covered a lot in current days Bible studies. They think it's given authority to the devil when you talk about him. Well, no, because you're learning how to defeat him. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit more. We can talk about next week. Because 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What does that mean? He goes back and forth in the portals. People just take these quotes and biblical scriptures to make it assume. Well, they're telling you things. How to defeat Satan. How bit this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. They brought that out of the Bible. Removed it in the other Bibles, but not the King James. Well, family, we're toward the end here tonight, this weekend, on this Friday. And, you know, healing the sick, a lot of it's possession. A lot of what's going on today is possession. Not everything. Most everything. Psychologist is just a band-aid, if that at all. And sometimes only temporary, because the demon becomes... What's the word I want to use? Possess the individual, quietly waiting for the day they can come out, or when the willpower has been cut down by drugs or sinning or whatever else. Then the demon will come out. Freemasons, that's a given. You're taking a blood oath. And it changes the individual. I have witnessed this before, how the person changed when they become a Freemason. It is drastic. I can tell you that for sure. Also, let you know, as we close in tonight, I want to remind you, family, nobody knows about the tribulation. Whether it's post-trib, mid-trib, partial trib, pre-wrath, nobody knows. So for someone to be aggressive about promoting their view on it means they have an agenda. There's an agenda. A lot of times, it's involved in the Calvinists, preterists, preparing the way for Sananda Manuel, the fallen angel. That's what that's all about. Don't believe him. Because nobody knows. And yet they push it. It's impossible to know. Because they don't even know when the tribulation is. So how can you argue either way? You see? And also these demons, they lay dormant until they're empowered, until they can show up and they got an opportunity to ambush the host. That's how that works. They lay dormant until the chemtrails release certain chemistry and chemicals in the atmosphere. Yeah. Or vaccines is an abomination to the body. It's all physics, chemistry, biology. It's amazing how it works. But family, prayer changes things. Faith manipulates, makes mountains move. If it's in God's will, let it be done. That's why he wants you humble. So when those powers come through the Holy Spirit to you, you don't take credit for it because it's not yours anyway. He's only given it to you because you're obedient to for spiritual warfare when that anointing comes. You see. That's why you must be humble and serve him and him alone. Crep up on me tonight again. Well, family, remind you that we're played up at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. Kirkler. John Kirkler, highpointradio.net. New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He plays my broadcast and Bible studies randomly on his network. And I appreciate that. That's what I get for it, is appreciation that I give for it. And so he has sponsors, and give him donations up there or use his sponsors you find on his website. whatever. Or encourage him by giving him a call or something. I don't know, something to help him. Me, my broadcast is watchmenforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus. And I appreciate y'all visiting. Y'all have a great weekend. Be careful. And we'll see y'all Monday at 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And here we go. I continue on with this Iron Mount report that came out on how they control people in time of peace. And we'll see where next week takes us. So y'all have a good night. God bless you and be careful. And we'll see you next week. This is your watchman, Thomas Gamble. As soon as I'm going to pray us out of here, we're going to head out. Lord, thank you tonight. Father, we for this Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have in this network. And Lord, we come to you tonight, ask for your blessings, to give us that discernment and wisdom to spread your holy word. And we're praying for our brethren, our families, and those, Father, we come in contact with. And even our enemies, Lord, that you reverse it and come into their lives with your Holy Spirit and guide them the right path. Father, with these things we pray to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, y'all have a great night. God bless you. And we'll see y'all next week. This is your watchman, Thomas Gamble, and I am signing off.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
I am with you every day to the end.